Praise God. We talked about Jacob this morning. We talked about how that if we wait upon the Lord, the reason God chose Jacob was because he had a desire in his heart for the birthright. He had a desire and a hunger in his heart for that special relationship with God. And God chose him out to preserve that seed in him that had hunger for the presence of God. He wanted to preserve the seed that was in Jacob, the hunger that was in him. He set him aside and chose him out so he could preserve the life of Christ that would be in him. And he put this man through all kinds of testing, all kinds of trials. He put him through all kinds of fire in his life. He pressed him and he molded him because he was preserving the life of Christ that was in that man. He was preserving that hunger and thirst that Jacob had for God. The Lord began to minister to me that all through the course of time, when God put his eyes upon Jacob, God knew that Jacob had that hunger in him. God knew that Esau didn't have it, but Jacob did. And as he had that desire in his heart, and God wanted to preserve that all through the ages, God has preserved a people that have that cry. God has preserved the people that have that hunger and that thirst to be with Jesus, that have that hunger to want to be surrendered and committed to him. And God chose Jacob out above Esau. And the word choose doesn't necessarily mean that those that he chose means that those other ones have been rejected. It doesn't mean that. It means the one that God has chosen, that he did choose him and he put his favor on that particular man. Now, when you got born again and you got saved, a merit of favor came into your life. God's grace came into your life, so you've been chosen out. And God chose Jacob out, and he put the favor of God in him. And the reason he put him through all the tests was because God was determined to save and preserve that life of Christ that was in him, that desire that was in Jacob to be at the feet of Jesus, to be surrendered and committed to him. The Lord will do that time after time after time. He will preserve a people. Since the beginning of time, God's had a remnant. He's had a people that have chosen to minister unto him. He's had a people that's been set aside, that's been drawn out and separated from the world and set aside, and the favor of God is rested upon them. And it looks like it's not the favor of God. It looks like it's not the blessings, because God brings the pressures and the trials of life to press and preserve. The fire comes in your life to preserve the life. It comes to burn out everything else in you. It comes to burn out the talents and the self-will and the strength, the natural strength. The fire of God comes in our lives to break us, to be a broken vessel, so that the life of God will be preserved and he gets the glory and not ourselves. God chose Jacob out. He set him aside. He said he didn't give him the birthright and just throw it on him, because he was breaking Jacob. He wanted him to be drawn into a place of waiting on God. And we talked about this morning that when you wait on God, it means that you intertwine yourself with Jesus. It means that we are a string all by ourselves, but God takes many, many strings and he interwinds them around us until we're strong. And we wait in him. We wait and we come into a communion and a oneness with him. We go deep into the depths of God. He teaches us to wait. Why? Because he's concerned about Jacob. He was concerned about Jacob. He loved Jacob. He loved Jacob. He loved him with a love, with a love that is beyond all loves. He loved Jacob. But God not only loved Jacob, God was preserving his seed. He was preserving that seed that he placed in his life, the life of Christ. He was preserving that. And so God put him into tight places. It looks like we're not being blessed, because our circumstances always aren't good. It looks like we have hard times. It looks like the fire comes into our life. It looks like there's trials on every side. But God is pressing us and he's breaking the self-life in order to preserve the seed of Christ that's in us. And we learn to wait in him. We learn to intertwine ourselves with him until we're strong and we're courageous. Amen? You say, how could God call this man forth, this man Jacob, and all the lions and all the deceptions and all deceiving? I mean, the man was cunning. He was nasty. We would have put him aside. But God chose him. He chose him with a sight of an eternal purpose in this man. Because God knew that he had the heart for that birthright. God knew that he had the desire to sit at the feet of Jesus. And you've seen it in your own lives. God marked this man. And we've run from it. And we've drawn away from God. But there's something in our hearts that keeps drawing us back to him. It's because God chose us with an eternal purpose in mind for our lives. There is a hunger in our hearts for him. We've been marked. We've been awed. We've been grieved. We've been set apart. We've been separated unto God because God intends to preserve the life of Christ in our lives so that the remnant can go forth. So that the remnant can go forth and proclaim the gospel, the life of Christ. Amen? Jacob was called out by God. Jacob heard the voice of the Lord calling him. He was chosen and he was called. You know what? We don't question the choice of God. We rest in it. We don't question why he chooses this one, why he chooses that one. We don't even look within ourselves and say, God, why did you choose me? You know what we do? We find rest in the fact that God has chosen me. I can rest and be in security because God has chosen me and set me apart. In Romans 9, it talks about the election of God. It talks about how God chooses us out. We rest in that. God is not dependent on you committing yourself to him. God is committing himself to you. God is dependent. God had the choice. God made the choice. And because God chose us, we can rest in the fact that what God started in us, he's going to finish. That what God chooses to preserve in us, he will preserve. Turn to Romans 9. We don't question the choice, we rest in it. You know, Jacob heard this call of God go forth. He heard the Lord calling him. There was a stirring in his soul. God was breathing on that desire in his heart. God was breathing on that desire that Jacob counted the birthright precious. He wasn't looking for any ministry. He wasn't looking to be used in the kingdom, so to speak. He wasn't looking for the praises of man. Jacob counted the birthright, the relationship with God, precious. It was what his heart desired. Yes, he went about it in all the wrong ways. And God broke that in his life. We see the grace of God rest in this man's life and mold and fashion him into a vessel of God. Where he doesn't even choose. Toward the end of this chapter, it talks about Jacob being called into Egypt by Joseph. This man hasn't seen his son for years. He has a love for this boy, Joseph. It's his favorite son. But Jacob has so been tried and so been tested and so been molded with a heart for God that when Joseph called him to come into Egypt, Jacob starts on his way and he stops halfway. And he built an altar. You know why? Because he knew Abraham got in trouble in Egypt. And Isaac, too, got in trouble. Amen? And Jacob, as bad as he wanted to see Joseph, he stopped midstream and built an altar. You say, it doesn't say in the word what he asked. It says that God said to him, Jacob, be not afraid. He built an altar and he asked God, can I go? I don't want to do anything that's going to displease you. My heart, my life is surrendered unto you. You've done a work in my heart. You've preserved the seed, Christ Jesus. You've preserved the life, the desire, the hunger for your presence in my life. The grace of God has rested upon me. Your favor, your choice has set me apart. And I'm not going to Egypt if it's not your desire. And God said to him, be not afraid, Jacob. Go thou in to Egypt, and I'll bless you there. He didn't dare walk under the unction of his own spirit. He waited to hear what the Spirit of God would lead him to do. And you look at the way we make choices in our lives. Do we take the time to build our altars? Do we take the time to ask God whether we're surrendered or not, whether we can hear His voice versus our own before we make our decisions? This man was molded in the image of Christ. The desires and the life of Christ was preserved within him. He heard the call and he went. He heard God calling him to himself. He heard God calling him to be separate, to be a minister unto him, and not unto church, not unto religion, but be a minister unto Christ, unto Jesus, unto God. He heard the call to a godly life, a separate life, and Jacob went. The call goes out for us to separate us from the rest of men. The call goes forth to separate us unto God, to be His priest, to be called His sons, to be His saints in this last hour, to be His voice, to be His minister to Him in this last hour. The voice and the call goes forth, and God calls many times. Sometimes once, sometimes twice, sometimes many times. It's like He said this morning, He didn't know that that was in my notes about Samuel. When He says God calls Samuel, Samuel, how many times did God speak to Samuel before Samuel realized it was the voice of God? But he would rise up and he was alert and he was attentive and he ran to meet that call. In the midst of a church where the lamp was burning low, in the midst of the temple where the lamp was going out, God was calling Samuel. Samuel, in the midst of an apostate church today, God calls you. Will you separate yourself? Will you separate yourself unto me? Will you come unto me and be a minister unto me? Will your life be consecrated and surrendered and committed unto me? Will you allow me to preserve the life of Christ? The Lord spoke to me, He said, I'm choosing you, I'm setting you aside. Wait. The Lord said, yea, wait thou on me. Why? Because not only is He causing me to be intertwined with the Lord, but the Lord showed me that He's protecting and He's binding up the seed of Christ that is in us. He is protecting it, winding it up, winding it up, winding it up with many cords that it's protected. Why? So that the life of Christ is preserved in this wicked and perverse generation, so the light of the gospel can go forth, so that the life of Christ, not church, not religion, not some southern style of religion that we have, where we go through all the motions and we've got all the right words and we talk about Him sometimes. No, I'm talking about the life. I'm talking about the life of Christ that's within us. God says, I want to preserve it. He said, you don't have to be afraid in this last hour. Wait thou on me, and I, God, will protect the seed. He said, I'll put a wall of fire round about the seed of Christ that is within you, and I'll keep it. Be not afraid to take steps into places you've never been before. Don't be afraid to walk into the depths of God. Don't be afraid that you're going to compromise and lower the standard and bring a reproach to my name. He said, I've worked a work in your hearts and your lives. Over the course of years of submitting and coming under the hand of God and having to be Him then and no place to run, God has protected the seed, and the communion and the fellowship is intertwined now. And the Isaacs are on the altar. And God is going to bring forth in this last hour the life of Christ. The remnant will come forth, not weak-kneed and not feeble, but God's remnant will come forth with the life of Christ abiding and alive on the inside of them, and they'll hold forth the word of life in this last hour. The voice of God will speak again. The Spirit of God will move and draw again. The conviction power of the Holy Ghost will move and abide in His house again. The conviction and the holiness preaching, the righteousness of Christ will rule and reign in the body of Christ again. God's going to send forth the light. The remnant will go forth in the power of Christ, living righteous and holy in this last hour. And the gifts of the Spirit will flow again because the Isaacs and the agendas and the motives are on the altar. And the life of Christ comes forth. Amen? Are you at Romans 9? It says in verse 10, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, and even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, catch this, that the purpose of God, God's purpose, according to election, that's His choice. That's when He chooses you. So God's purpose is going to go forth according to His choice. That the purpose of God according to the election might stand. Not of works, but of Him that calleth. We can rest in that. God's choice. The purposes of God will go forth. And they'll stand, not by our works, but because of the way He chose and called us out and separated us. We can find rest and security in God's choosing. Amen? That's why Jacob was chosen. That's why we hear the God of Jacob today. He was a deceiving man, but he had a cry. He had a cry in his heart to minister to Christ. He had a cry to sit at His feet. His heart failed Him many, many times, but God did not fail Jacob. God's grace molded him. The favor of God, the choosing. I don't stand tonight in my own works. I don't stand because I did it right and I said it right. I stand because God chose me and He allowed the fire of God to burn out in my heart all that didn't please Him. He allowed the pressures and the tribulations and the trials and the suffering to break the natural man, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes for the things of the world, the fitting in, the appearances. God had to break it through the sufferings and the trial. He makes us into jewels. He makes us into gems. Why? Because He's preserving the life. Not because so much that He loves me, and He does. He loves me. He loves you. And He sets us apart. Yes, because He loves us, but yes, because of the seed of Christ that is within us. We can rest in God's choice. I can put my hope in Jacob's God. Because God chose him and set him apart. Not rest in your work. Rest in His choice. That His favor rest upon you. And you can find security in that He's going to keep you. And you may be in and out, up and down at times. There's some of you whose hearts bleed over what you've done to the Lord. You feel you've reproached Him, but God got His hand in your life. He's got His hand in your life. He's chosen you. He's trying to set you apart. He's trying to stir the hunger for Him again. Not self, but for Him. And He sets us apart. And He desires to preserve the life of Christ within us. In Romans 9:27, if you go a little further, it said Isaiah, hallelujah. Isaiah also cries concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. This is Jacob they're talking about, Jacob's seed. He said there's a lot of them, but only a remnant's going to come out. Do you know what that means? When he uses the word remnant, that means that God has caused a people to remain. God has. God has set aside a people. Well, how does He choose them? They have a heart to minister to Him. You can believe what I'm saying by the Spirit, or you can play church. The Lord spoke very specific to me standing right there in front of my seat this morning at the altar call. He said some of them through pride, through spiritual pride, Some of you need to stand and repent tonight because the pride in your life stood straight up in the face of God this morning. Your face didn't change, but God, by the Holy Ghost, you, the pride, stood up. And God said, some of them are going to miss the visitation of God. Because of the pride in their own lives, you're going to miss the visitation of God. You're going to miss Him moving. You're going to miss Him touching you. You have no idea. Your minds are so controlled by self. You don't have any, you don't fathom what God's trying to make you into. You don't fathom what God has for you 2, 3, 4 years from now. It's never entered your mind what God is trying to prepare you for. You say, oh, Sister Beth, you're trying to pump. I know it. By the Spirit, He knows it. By the Spirit, God is trying to mold you now into a vessel. And some of you are going to miss Him. You're going to miss the visitation of God, and you're going to weep sorely. Isaac, Esau wept sorely when he dawned on him that he had sold a special relationship with God. He wept sorely, but it was gone. You're going to mess around and play church. And you're going to let that pride and that self stand up in you one time, and you're going to miss Him. The hand of God is in this house, and He's molding right now. He is preparing us for the last day move of the Holy Ghost. God is going to break us forth. He's going to send us out. And He's preparing us now. He's preparing us now, and God's cry is don't harden your heart or you're going to miss Him. You're going to miss what God's trying to do. And you're going to throw the smile on one time too many and it's not going to be there. And you're going to weep. Am I telling you you're going to be lost? Am I telling you you're not going to be saved? Am I telling you you're not going to be used? I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you you're not going to be the man and the woman of God that He has planned and purposed for your life. You're going to miss Him. You're going to miss Him. You're going to miss the depths of God. You're going to miss the plan and the purposes for your life. You can't sit hard and indifferent to the Holy Ghost when He chooses to move. He comes suddenly to the temple and He molds and He makes. He's building brick upon brick upon brick upon brick. God is preparing His people. And I'm telling you, you can think this cute, ready or not. Here He comes. Amen. Ready or not, He's coming. And those that have heard the call and heard the voice will be prepared. And God will use them with great might in this last hour. Amen. God is bringing a remnant. He allowed them to remain because their heart had a cry for Him. Their heart had a cry for Him in the midst of a church. The church world that we're in now is in the midst of the greatest apostasy and the greatest deception that's ever been known to the church. In all of church history, we're being deceived by the doctrines of men and by the doctrines of devils, by the philosophies of men. We're being deceived by our own flesh, by our own desires, by our own wants. By that thing in us that has to grasp and grapple at the pleasures of man and the praises of man. Our heart wants to grasp at them, and we're going to miss Him. In the midst of all that's going on around us, another gospel, another Jesus is being preached and proclaimed and presented to us. But in the midst of that, God's going to have a people. God is raising up a remnant even now as we speak more and more. God is just opening our eyes to see more and more how God's plan is ever moving. It's always moving. It's always in motion. God is preparing for the last day revival. And He's getting His people ready even now. It's a people that wait on Him. They're being intertwined with Him. Their hearts are getting stout and fat and broad with God. They're being strengthened in the inner man by the Holy Ghost. They're learning the things of God. The Word is beginning to open up and they're seeing it for what He's saying. It's not all about our little world anymore. And whether I'm going to make it. And whether I'm going to serve God next year. Or the next year. Or am I ever going to be what God wants me to be. We're talking about the bigness, the vastness of God's plan here. From the beginning of time, he's called out a people, a remnant, who would wait on him, who would love him, who would minister to him, who would submit themselves and yield themselves and surrender themselves to him. And in that people is the seed of life. It's the seed of Christ. And he's preserving it. People around us have secret idols. They have an outward ministry. There's self-exaltation. There's ambition on every side. There's people that have their own agenda, their own plan, their own way of doing things. There's pride, there's lust, there's anger. Everywhere we turn, God's saying, I am calling you to come out of the midst of that. God wants to preserve the life that is in you. He wants to call you out. God's calling them now. Hear the Spirit. Hear what the Spirit's saying. He's calling them out now. This is not about whether I'm going to make it. This is about the kingdom of God being advanced and proclaimed, not just here, but in the world. About the seed of Christ being birthed and planted. Praise God. The seed of Christ being planted in other people. As we speak, the gates and the doors to nations open. Who do you think is going to go forth? You say, Sister Beth, the doors to nations have been open for years, but is the remnant going through them? We got missionaries on every side, but do they minister to Christ? Are they teaching the people an intimacy in a communion with him? Are they teaching them how to sit and be broken vessels? Are they teaching them how to be broken of pride? Are they teaching them how to be broken of their own desires, their own wants? Is it a people that minister to Christ? Is it a people that have a heart for him? That say, God, I surrender my heart, my life. I sacrifice myself on the altar. And I give of myself to be your servant in this last hour. That's who's going through those doors. It's going to be God's remnant in this last hour. The kingdom of God being advanced on every side. The gospel going into every corner of every nation, to every people, to every language, to every tongue. God's seed, the remnant of Christ going forth, planting. We may go with tears, but we bear our seed. And God promises that if we go forth bearing the seed of Christ, that we will come back with joy, bringing our fruit with us. God is going to send you to the nations. God's got a people he's going to send forth to proclaim his gospel, to plant his seed. It'll be the gathering of his church. It'll be the gathering of his church. Everywhere I go, I see pictures, I see faces, I see Chinese, I see Middle Easterns, I see Asians, I see Africans. My heart trembles, my heart lurches within me. The Spirit starts to turn and it starts to move within us when I thank God's seed going forth and being planted in every heart and every person, and God gathering in his glorious church in this last hour. But we sit saying we're God's people. We sit saying we are the remnant of God and we're worried about tomorrow. God says you can find security and rest in the fact that he's chosen you and the life of Christ is within you. And you're waiting in God's season. You're being intertwined. You're learning to commune with him. You're learning the depths of his heart. And God's going to have a people that go forth, that break out, if you will, of the dead church religion all around us. Of the woe is me. I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get the victory. God said, I'll give you the strength to prevail. I'll give you the strength to gain the victory. I'll make you strong and courageous. You say, Sister Beth, that's out there. We talk about going to nations. If you don't go, the one beside you will. It's his heart. It has dawned on me like a light out of heaven that is the last day move is in the nations. It'll be for every people, black, white, dark, red, yellow. God's last day move will be to go forth with God's remnant, God's seed within us, preaching and proclaiming the life and the liberty and the freedom that is in Christ. Breaking the chains of Islam, breaking the chains of Buddhism, Hinduism, breaking the chain of Catholicism, breaking the chain and letting the life and the seed of Christ come forth in God's people. Planting our seed. You can't plant seed if you don't know Him. God said, wait. Yea, I say, wait on me. Until you're strong and courageous and go forth and do battle against the principalities and the powers and wickedness in high places and break the bondages that the life of Christ may be planted in every nation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, I don't know if I'm already excited. God has a people. You may not go. You may pray for one to go. But that's where God's going to be. Planting seed. It's so real to me. I see Him. He's planting His seed. He's planting His seed. You know, maybe you think that I've been born in some little town and I don't know much, but just like this brother, when I look at him and I think the man is from Egypt, it overwhelms me when I think that God has taken him and planted the seed of Christ, the life in this man who was raised serving other gods, who was raised in another religion, but God plants His seed, the life of Christ. And when he is strong and stout in God and waited in God, he may hear God call him, go. Go into your nation. You speak your language and you plant my seed. And you preserve my life in your country. Hallelujah. 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 We sit indifferent and we yawn in church. And we don't know if we will do it. We don't know what we're going to do. We don't know if we're going to make it tomorrow. Oh, it's so hard going to work. God said you can rest in His choice. I have been chosen. Set apart. Because He desired and put a hunger in my heart for Him and Him alone. God will have a remnant that will go forth into the nations. They'll plant seed. And you'll see a glorious church stand up in this last hour. God wants to widen your vision tonight. He wants to open your hearts to new horizons. Not all about me and my four anymore. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God's remnant will be a people that are strong enough, they are faithful, and they are committed enough to God. Do you hear me? God's remnant in this last hour will be strong enough, faithful, and committed enough to God to be able to go into places where rebellion, wickedness, and idolatry run rampant. And they won't go afraid they're going to be spotted. And afraid they're going to yield to temptation. They'll go as a voice with a sword of God in their hand and high praises of God rolling out of their spirits. And they'll go in the midst of rebellion, in the midst of idolatry, in the midst of wickedness. And they'll plant seeds for the glory of Christ. They'll preserve the life of Christ. They'll plant seed. The life of Christ is within them. That's been preserved. They'll go forth in the midst of these places and they'll plant those seed. So God gets a harvest. In this last hour, there'll be a people whose desire is for Jesus. It is to minister to Jesus. It'll be a people whose desire is to sit at His table. They don't desire the pleasant food of the world, of religion. They dine with the Master Hallelujah. 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 The people that sit at the master's table, they're consumed with him, possessed of him. They're obedient people, a people whose heart burns with a love, with an ardent passion for him and him alone. They've learned to minister to him and find satisfaction in sitting at the master's table of eating the crumbs. As long as it's from his hand, their peace, their contentment is in him. They're pure. Hallelujah. They're transparent. They're holy. They're righteous. They teach God's people the truth between the holy and the profane. The wicked and the holy. They don't desire anything but Jesus. They've come to a point in their life where nothing else satisfies. They don't desire anything, no possessions, don't possess a thing. In Psalm 47 it says, hallelujah, they allow him to choose their inheritance. God, you choose our inheritance for us. We sing it. We shout it. God, you choose our inheritance for us. God, we don't want to possess anything but you. We don't want to have any dead weight. We don't want to be entangled with the affairs of this world. We don't want to be entangled with civilian life, with society, with government. We don't want to be entangled with it. God, you give us, you choose for us our inheritance. You give us, God, from your heart, hallelujah, what you want us to have. God, you search our hearts. You look within your heart and you give us, God, that you choose for us to have. God, we'll receive it from your hand. We'll take the inheritance that you have for us, God. We don't want to grope and search and grab for whatever seems to pass us by that looks good at the time. God, you choose for us our inheritance. You give us the bread and the meat that you want us to have. The wine and the bread that you choose, God, you give it to us, Lord. You know what Ezekiel says? This is God speaking. And it shall be regard to an inheritance for them that I myself will be their inheritance. And you shall give them no possession. I will be their possession. Hallelujah. 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 God, what mercy, what grace. That God would choose to fill us with himself. To find our satisfaction in him. That our heart hungers for no more. He fills us till we thirst and we hunger no more. He becomes our possession and our inheritance. God's raising up his remnant even now. And he's beginning to bring them forth. If you'll turn to 1 Peter. Those of you that were taking notes, that was Ezekiel 44:28, and the scripture in Psalm was Psalm 47:4. Hallelujah. Huh. I've sung it, but I didn't know what I was singing. God, you choose. Huh. Glory to God. Many times, and I have walked the floor saying, God, I just want to know you. I want to know you. I want to be filled with you. And many times I would pray and seek the Lord. God, my heart hungers for you. God, you choose. Hallelujah. You choose an inheritance for me, and that inheritance is him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew, hallelujah. I don't have to look in the world anymore. I don't have to think it's going to be in the next church service or the next time or the next tape or the next book. It's in Him. It's in Him. Hallelujah. A people that's set apart, faithful to God, pure and upright. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2. God is bringing His remnant forth now. It says in verse 5, ye also, as living stones, that means you have life, the life of Christ. You're being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up your services or your spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. Verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and a holy nation. You're a peculiar people that's come from every nation, that's been brought together and gathered up as a glorious church. A peculiar people, that you might show forth the praises of Him who brought you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past you were not a people, but now we're the people of God. God preserving His holy seed within us. The judgments of God coming in our lives because He wants to see if we can make it. Because He wants to see if we can take the pressure. No, to preserve the life in you. He don't want the things of the flesh to taint, to mingle with the life that's within you. God brings the fire to burn within you that it doesn't mingle with the seed. He wants to preserve it. The holiness of God reigns and rules in the house of God to preserve the righteousness, the seed, the life of Christ, that the remnant can go forth and bear seed and plant them. He said that we can show forth the praises of Him who brought us out of darkness. We were in darkness. We were beggars, poor, blind, naked. Beggars sitting on a dunghill. God said, I'll raise you up, make you a king and a priest. I call you out of darkness into my marvelous light. Which in time past you were not a people, but now you're a people of God. Which had not obtained mercy. But now you have obtained mercy. He said He brings us out of darkness. Why? So we can show forth His praises. Do you know what the word show forth means? Declare. Again. It rolls in my heart. It rolls in my soul. God stirs it and He blows on it, God, that we might be a people that will declare the glory of God in this last generation, that we might be a people that would declare the majesty and the power of God. Not a woe is me and hope I can. The glory and the majesty, the love of Christ. It's not by my works I was chosen and kept. It's by His choice. And I can show forth the praises of God who brought me out of a dark kingdom into a kingdom of light. He brought me out of darkness into His marvelous light. That light means it was not kindled by the hand of man, and therefore it cannot be quenched. It wasn't kindled by your hand, by mine. It wasn't kindled by man's hand, and it can't be put out with man's hand. We'll be persecuted. We'll be slandered. We'll be talked about. We'll be mocked. We'll be ignored. But they can't quench the light. He said, who are these people? We are they who have been brought out of great tribulation, and we washed our robes in the blood of the Lamb. We're not spotted. We don't have blemishes. We're not dirty. We've been washed. In the blood of the Lamb, we've come out of great persecution, great suffering, great tribulation, but we've been washed. The breath of life has been blown into us. We have the life of Christ on the inside of us. We've been brought out of darkness into His marvelous light, and we can sit past debating whether we choose to serve this glorious Christ. God will leave you in the dust, and His kingdom and His power will progress on. The kingdom's going forth. The kingdom will advance. God will break every bondage of every fear in your heart of seeing that kingdom go forth. He'll break the fear of the depths of God. He'll break the fear of man. And He brought you into His light. You know what? That word light is the same word in John 1:4. Oh, isn't that good? Amen, that's good. That's good. John 1:4 says this. It says, in Him was life. In Jesus was life. And that life was the light of men. God brought me out of darkness and He brought me in the light. What is that light? In Him was life. And in that life was the light of men. That light within me is the life of Christ. He brought me out of the darkness. And He brought me in to a kingdom of light and life and liberty and freedom. I'm not enslaved with a yoke of bondage anymore. I'm not enslaved to man's opinion. And I'm not enslaved to His praises. God has brought me out of the darkness. I was in darkness. I couldn't see. I was blind, lost, groping. God said, I'll bring you out. I'll put my life in you. No man will quench it. I'll blow the breath of life in you. I'll put my life in you. And I'll bind myself around it. And I'll put a wall of fire around it. And I'll intertwine myself with you. I'll make you strong. And I'll make you courageous. And I'll stir the hunger to minister unto me. I don't want to minister to anybody. I want to minister to Him. He is my life. Christ, who is my life, shall appear, Paul said. To have Him, to know Him, to come to see Him, to embrace Him, to walk in the depths of God, to minister to Him, to sit at this table, to be filled with that inheritance that He chooses to give to me. You choose, God. You choose. He's always fed me. He has always fed me His life. There were times when we had nothing physically. Nothing. All had been stripped away and burned in the fire. But God fed. God fed us. Hallelujah. He fed us with Himself, and He wrapped and intertwined Himself in us, and He made us strong and courageous. And we await to see the glory of God. We await, we expect to see His glory and His majesty in this last hour. He's going to hide us in Himself as He passes by. As His glory passes by, we'll be hid in the cleft of Jesus, in the cleft of the rock, watching the glory and the manifestation of the life and the power of Christ in this last hour. God will have a people, a remnant. You say, yeah, they'll be hid away. They have been hid away. Ooh, hallelujah. They have been hid away. You said, but I've just gotten saved. You've been hid away. If your heart has that cry, then nothing else satisfies but Him. And you know. Your Ishmaels aren't running loose anymore. They've been banished out into the wilderness. And Isaac's on the altar. And nothing quite satisfies. There's nothing that quite satisfies your heart anymore but him. Then you're the remnant and you've been hid away. But God's been preparing and molding his vessels. It seems that the light and the darkness and the sun has been hidden by the clouds for many years. But God's going to break open the clouds and the sun's going to shine and God's remnant will come forth in power. It'll be a visible remnant. And it'll be an anointed one. We'll go forth with eyes seeing the glory of God, not man. Remember, Isaac's on the altar. Ishmael's banished to the wilderness. And all our hopes, dreams, and promises are laying on the altar. And if God so breathes life into them, we'll receive them. If he don't, they lay. Committed in the hand of God. But God's remnant will go forth visible to the world to see and persecuted by the nominal church. And beware and be careful that the spiritual pride within you does not persecute God's remnant in this last hour. Take care. Take care that we don't allow the lust of our flesh and the pride of our own lives persecute God's remnant in this last hour. I wouldn't touch God's anointing for anything while God's raising it up in this last hour. Amen. You say, you're talking about yourself, and I'm talking about anybody that has a heart's cry to sit at the feet of Jesus. I'm talking about anybody that has that hunger in their heart that is not satisfied with anything outside of the table of God. Amen. God's remnant will come forth and it will be anointed because the anointing's got to break the yoke. And you're going to start seeing them stand up. You say the doors are shutting. The doors are opening by the hand of God. God's chosen people, Jews, will behold his salvation in this last hour. Chinese. They have an underground church that's greater and bigger and stronger than the one that we live in. God's people stand in this last hour, stand persecuted and suffering, but they stand with the anointing of God in their lives, committed and surrendered to him, bearing precious seed. Turn to Micah 2. Micah 2. Are you hearing what the Spirit's saying to you? He wants to broaden you out. That it's not, am I going to make it next week? Am I going to have a good week? Am I going to do good? Am I not going to yield? Entwine yourself in him. Entwine yourself in him and he'll make you strong and courageous. He'll cause you to prevail. It'll cause your vision to see what's on the horizon. The last day move of the Holy Ghost. Are you at Micah 2? God preserved a remnant in Jacob because God loved Jacob. But God loved that seed as well. And God preserves a remnant today in us, those that have that heart's cry to minister to him. Amen? Not minister in this sanctuary so we look good. We minister to him. Our heart bleeds for him. I had somebody tell me the other day. The kingdom must go forth. If we bleed, we bleed. But the kingdom has to advance. If we suffer persecution, if we suffer reproach, if we suffer being slandered and being misunderstood and being lied about. If we bleed, we bleed. But the kingdom has to advance. Because God is bearing precious seed. Amen? Be not afraid to walk into the depths of God. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait. You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be fearful. Wait on the Lord. Wait. And God will preserve the precious seed within you, and that remnant will go forth. Amen? Micah 2:12 says this, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel, and I'll put them together as sheep. In other words, what he's saying is, God is going to have a remnant, and he's going to start to gather them out and gather them up and bring them together in like a sheepfold and a pasture. And it says that they're going to make a lot of noise. You know why? Because there's going to be a lot of them. You say, well, there's not a lot in America. That's right. But we're talking about the world. We're talking about the world. Who, me? Are we preparing our children to be servants? Are we preparing our children? Are we preparing our factory workers? Hallelujah. Are we preparing our teachers, our homemakers? Are we preparing our businessmen? Are we preparing them to go forth bearing precious seed? Or is it all about me? My world. God said, I'll have a remnant. I'll gather them together. And they'll make noise, lots of noise, because it can come from every tongue and every tribe and every nation and be gathered together as a glorious church. He says in verse 13, the breaker, God has his remnant. It says in verse 13, the breaker has come up before them. They have broken up and they've passed through the gate and are gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them and the Lord on the head of them. Meaning he being the chief. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying God will have a remnant in this last hour. They sit in the midst of a perverted world. They sit in the midst of apostate churches. We sit in the midst of those that have to be pushed like wheelbarrows. We sit in the midst of those that are dead. They're all about themselves and whether this is going to happen and whether this is going to come to pass. And God, are you going to ever do this for me? Am I going to ever get free of this? God said the breaker will go before you and he'll break it open for the remnant. I don't have to sit in the midst of a dead church. I don't have to sit in the midst of those that are weighed down by the flesh. God will cause his remnant to break out from among all this. He will go forth into a broad place bearing our seed. The life of Christ. The heart that's been marked, that finds no peace, no joy, no desire outside of him. And minister to the person of Christ. He is their only possession, their only desire. An adoration and a surrender and a commitment and a faithfulness in their heart to him. Ministering to Christ, we take the life, the freedom, the joy that comes from the feet of Christ. We don't take religion. We don't take doctrine. We take the life, the communion, and the fellowship that we find at his feet. We take the bread that comes from his table. We take the wine that he fills us with, and that's what we plant into the seeds and the hearts of those that have an ear to hear in this last hour. God preserved Jacob because he loved him. He chose him because he had a heart to sit at the feet of Jesus. And Jacob, in all of his mess, found rest in that choice. He submitted himself to the fires and the sufferings and the tribulations that came from the hand of God to mold and make and perfect the seed of Christ within him, that he might preserve a people unto himself. Amen. God will have a people that burst out from every weight that tries to hold them down, from every wagging tongue, from every high, haughty look. God's people will break out, following the Messiah, following the breaker. Do you know what that word means? It's breaker. It's the one who breaks open. It is symbolic of the Messiah, Christ Jesus. We'll go forth following that voice that calls us out. We don't have to sit among the weary and the dead. Paul even prayed himself for a resurrection out from among the dead, that he might have life in Christ and apprehend Christ for what he had been apprehended for. God's saying the remnant is not going to sit indifferent and held back in this last hour, because it's not of your opinion that it's right. God said, I'll break them loose and I'll push open the gate and they'll go forth into a broad place, sharing the communion and the fellowship of Christ and sharing it with every ear to hear and receive with joy. Amen. Praise God.